Rabbi Yoshua Katz.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming. The title for this enthralling presentation is The Treasure Hunt. We're going to speak about hunting for treasure. But before we do that, we'd like to begin with a bracha to wish everybody a good summer, Gittin Zimmer. And yesterday there is a minhag to have a schlissel challah, because the month finished and the Yidden had to eat b'derech hateva from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore there's a minhag to put a challah with a schlissel, with a key. There should be a parnosa for everybody b'harvocha, and my bracha is that everybody should have parnosa b'revach lonu l'chol Yisrael, amen. By way of a milsa b'dichusa, the Gemara is very makpid that every drosha should begin with a milsa b'dichusa. So there was a man who went to the doctor after Pesach, and he said, I have a tummy ache. And the doctor, who wasn't Jewish, said, how long have you had this stomach ache? He said, since Pesach. What's Pesach? Pesach is Passover. What's Passover? When we came out of Egypt. When did you come out of Egypt? He said, 3,500 years ago. He said, if you've had stomach ache for 3,500 years, don't expect me to be able to cure you. Thank you. Just to analyse where we're holding. We're holding at the moment between Pesach and Shavuos. We're on a journey. We're on a 49-day journey, and today's the 12th day of that journey. So I'd like to discuss where we're holding. We're holding, yesterday was Parsha Shemini. We're now in the days of the Sefira. We speak about Rebbe Akiva and his Talmidim. And next week's Seder is Tazria Metzora. So Be'ezras Hashem, in the next few minutes to discuss all those aspects, a little blend of everything. All the good recipes have a good blend of many things put in together. The Sforim tell us that part of our preparation for Kabbalah Satoira is to improve on our Ben Adam Lechaveroi. It says in the Haggadah, Ilu kervonu lifnei har Sinai, v'loi nosan lonu es ha-toira. If Hashem would have brought us to har Sinai and not given us a Torah, Dayenu would have been good. And the Mephoshim asked, what's the point in being in the har Sinai if you're not going to receive the Torah? And the answer that's given is that when Klal Yisrael camped by har Sinai, Vayichan shom Yisrael neged ahor, Vayichan, v'loshen yochid, because we were together, ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. And even for that hisoirus of Ben Adam Lechaveroi, it would have been Kedai, even if there would not have been a Kabbalah Satoira, just the Achdus between one Yid and another, Chaverim Kod Yisrael, would have been worth it in itself. And Kal Vachoyme, we got the Torah as well. So Achdus is really what has to precede Kabbalah Satoira. And perhaps that's why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were punished just after this time of the year. Because if, as the Gemara says, Shaloi Nohagu covered Zeh Lazeh, they didn't show each other sufficient covered, whatever that means, that you have to look very deeply to find that if we'd have been there, we wouldn't have seen anything. But on their Madrega, they were judged according to Rabbi Akiva's standard of we judge according to our background. And because they were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they were judged according to his standard. But the kasha is, why would they punish Dafka this time of the year? Why not during the Dry Vochen or any Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Why Dafka these days? And perhaps one can say is because we're now in leading up to Torah, and Derech Eretz Kodma La Torah. And if there was a taina of lack of Derech Eretz, so therefore that's why they were punished that time of the year, and that's really what we have to be working on in our preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, to work on Ben Adam Lechaveroi. Yiddishkeit is a balance. the balance between Ben Adam Lechaveiro and Ben Adam Mokum is exact, it's precise. It's two parts to one thing. It has to be exact. So by way of illustration, I once heard there was a presentation, very Chosh Yid came to London, by the name of Professor Schwartzbaum. Professor Schwartzbaum wrote a book called The Bamboo Cradle. I don't know if you ever read this book. It's about how he and his wife adopted a Chinese baby, and they became, as a result of this, they became from themselves, but through the whole, they were not from, and through the whole adoption process of going to various bate dinim and etc., they became Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. And so he came to London, Project Seed brought him over, and he spoke to us about this incredible journey. And he said when he became a frum person, so talis and tefillin every morning, and he said it's okay for you guys, so since you're bar mitzvah, you're used to your jacket, your hat, the talis, and you get used to the whole idea. But for people who come to it later on in life, to put on your talis and the hat and the kapel and the jacket, and the shalyad goes flying one way, the hat goes flying the other way, and it was very hard to keep the whole show on the road. And he was once at the back of a shul trying to keep it all together, and a yid comes over to him and says, excuse me please, and he thought, oh, Baruch Hashem, someone's going to help me. He said, excuse me please, but you're in my place, can you just move? And he then proceeded to daven a very long intense Shemona Esra, hopefully with a big slachlanu included. He said, you can see that the story itself, to push some away and then to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please may I have your undivided attention, is not exactly what Yiddishkeit is all about. It has to be a balance. And the Aseres HaDibros were two rows of five, Ben Adam LaMokum, Ben Adam LaChaveiro. It wasn't one long thing of ten. To show you there has to be a balance. I once heard from Rav Matisyahu Solomon Zolazayn Gesund, he said on the Aseret, he said B'Shem the B'nei Yisoschar. B'nei Yisoschar says that the letters of the Aseres HaDibros presumably filled the entire space which was available. So on the Ben Adam LaMokum side, beginning on Noichi up to including Shabbos, you've got 146 words. On the Ben Adam LaChaveiro side, loy this, loy etc., loy tirsach etc., you've got 26. So you've got 26 words on one side, 146 words on the other side. So those of us who have our eyes tested occasionally, we sit in the optician and we read the small print and the large print. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came, and you see the large print first, obviously. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos, so Klaus were looking very carefully, what's he bringing down? So what side would they see first? They would see the Ben Adam LaChaveiroi side before the Ben Adam LaMokum. So what's the limud? So the limud is, says Rav Matisyahu, because to have a relationship between us and Ribbono Shel Olam, the technicalities, the Shabbos, the Yom Tov, the Tefillin, Mezuzah, Tzitzis, all the technicalities have been Adam LaMokum mitzvahs. Of course, we study them. You've got to read the small print, as it says. But the Ben Adam LaChaveiro should be equal. That should equal my Ben Adam LaMokum. That was a chiddush, and therefore the Eibusha wrote the Ben Adam LaMokum LaChaveiro letter larger in order they should be seen first, in order they should have equal value, so to speak, with Ben Adam LaMokum. To teach us that Ben Adam LaChaveiro is as important, exactly as important, not more, not less, to the nth degree. I once heard from Reb Chaim Kaufman the following words from in Parshas Mishpatim. After the Torah was given, so the pasuk says, "Vayichtav Moshe." At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, "Vayichtav Moshe is called Divrei Hashem." Vayashkein baboike, vayiven mizbeach, and he made matzeva, And the pasuk says, "Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam," he took half the blood, "Vayosem ba'agonois," and he put it in basins, "Vachatzi hadam zorak al hamizbeach," and so half the blood with pasuk ches, "Vayikach Moshe hadam vayizroik al ha'om." So half the dam went on the mizbeach, and half the blood was spritzed towards Klal Yisrael. So Rashi says an interesting thing. "Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam," says Rashi, "mi cholkoi," who divided this dam? Says Rashi, "Malach boi v'cholkoi." A malach came. Malach came and divided the blood. So Reb Chaim asks, why should you need a malach? You've got the dam. You pour half into one keli, which goes on the mizbeach, and half the blood is spritzed towards. What do you need a malach for? So he answered that dam is very viscous. It doesn't flow easily. And there's always going to be one drop, which you don't know where it go, which way does it go? Does it go on the Ben Adam Lamokim side or Ben Adam Lachaveru side? The Ben Adam Lamokim would be on the Mizbeach, the Ben Adam Lachaveru would be towards Klal Yisrael. So, Chatzi Hadam, we're talking about half. It has to be exactly half. So, Mi Cholkoi, how can you make sure that you've got enough, exactly the same amount of drops in one in the other? A human being can't do it. You need a malach to come and do it. To show us, says Reb Chaim, that Chatzi Hadam, that the Ben Adam Lachaver, Ben Adam Lamokim, has to be exact. There's not much, not one drop more in one than in the other. In Parshas Truma, the pasuk says, again, to show that the Ben Adam Lachavera, Ben Adam Lamokim have to be exactly matched. V'no adeti l'choshom, v'dibarti t'cho me'al ha-kapoires, mi'bein shnei ha-kruvim, asher al aron ha-eidus. Where did the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam emanate from in the Mishkan? It came between the two kruvim, and on top of the Aron HaKodesh. So the two Keruvim represent Ben Adam, the Chaveroi. The Aseres HaDibros in the Aron HaKodesh represents Ben Adam, Lamokim. And where did the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyochol emanate from? Between the two Keruvim, Me'al HaKapoires, just in that epicenter, just exactly that point where Ben Adam, the Chaveroi, and Ben Adam, Lamokim are exactly matched, that's where you'll hear the voice, that's where you'll, the Eibush to speak to us. That's where we know that we've got it right. On the first Shabbat after Pesach, we start reading Pirkei Avos, and it's not surprisingly in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, Yeshub ben Parachia, Vehevidon es kol ha'odom lekafschus. We have to judge every person lekafschus. So bedom lechaveroi is very important. And the Meforshim point out, it doesn't say Hevidon es kol odom lekavschus, judge every person lekavschus. It's Hevidon es kol ha odom, every person you come across has to be, you've got to judge the whole person. In other words, you have to appreciate the his matzav, where he's coming from, where he's going to. We don't know the full picture. Hevedon eskol ha'odom. You've got to judge the entire person, lekaschus. In the Torah it says, betzedek tishpoit es hamisecho. And Rashi says, hevedon eskol ha'odom lekaschus. It's important to, part of being a yid, to a shomer Torah mitzvahs, is how we relate with other people. I once heard from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, that when we talk about Rishoim, we're very quick sometimes to point the finger and say that person is not up to standard, and the word Rosha comes to mind. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller says we have to be very careful when judging other people. He says Rosha is related to the same letters as Ra'ash. Rosha is Reishin Ayin, and Ra'ash is Reish Ayin Shin. What does Reish Ayin Shin mean? Osbekoil. Ra'ash Gadol, in upheaval. Very often when you see people doing something which they shouldn't be doing, it's not because of Rosha, it's because of Ra'ash. Rabbi Socha Fran tells the story, the very poignant story of a Holocaust survivor who, after the war, he broke all connection with Yiddishkeit. His wife, however, was very insistent. She says, "My husband has to go to shul every day. I'm sorry, I will not go. It's not, I'm through." He said, "I want you to go." This was a conversation every day. So he said, "If I go, I'll read a newspaper. I'll sit at the back and read a newspaper." And so the wife said, "I don't care. So as long as my husband goes to shul, you can do what you want." So Taki went to shul, and he sat at the back, and he opened the newspaper. And every day he did this. And slowly but surely, the people of the shul accepted where he was coming from and what the whole problem was. And slowly but surely, the newspaper reading got less. A siddur came onto the scene, the newspaper became less, the siddur became more, until finally, slowly but surely, he became a fully fledged member of the shul and daven, etc. So Rabbi Socher Franz said, "What would happen if this yid would come to our shul? And the yid opens the newspaper, what would we do? Would we be so accepting? This Rav and this Kehila were very clever and just let him be, because they understood he's not a Rasha, he's Ra'ash. Lo Aleinu should never be tested. Because sometimes people who do things is out of pain." And I once heard by the Rasha of the Arab Abonim, Rasha Mahu Oimer, and we say, "Hake Shinov, knock his tooth." We give him some dental treatment. So there's many answers to this very peculiar phrase. And one answer I heard was that Hake Shinov means take off the shin. Take off the shin of Rosh, and you get Ra. Deal with the issue, don't deal with the person. The issue and the person are two separate things. And we have to be clever to separate people from their problems. The problem isn't the person, it's what he's going through. In yesterday's Sedra, in Parsha Shemini, it's interesting. This is B'Shem Rabbi Sol Salant. And it's a lovely vort when it describes the kashrus of certain animals. So you've got three animals. You've got the gomel, which is a camel. You've got a neves, which is a hyrax, and so it's 1 second. Just 1 second. Okay. Achazeloi toichlu mimale hageru mafris aparso es agomol kimale geru afarso enenu mafris. So the gomol has not got a cloven hoof. Mafris is present tense. And then it comes to the shofon, kimale geru. The shofon is translated here as a hyrax. And aparso lo yafris. We're not concentrating on the species of the animal, we're concentrating on the way the Torah describes their cloven hooves. So by the gomol it says mafris, by the shofon it says ufarsoloi yafris. Yafris is future tense. And then by the arneves kimalagerhu ufarsoloi hifriso. Hifriso is past tense. So you've got three expressions of kashrus, of tumah. You've got mafris, which is present tense, yafris, which is future, and hifriso, which is past tense. Three animals, three tenses, past, present, and future. So Rabbi Sol Salant says, from here we learn that only the Ribbono Shel Olam, who knows the mafris, the yafris, and the hifriso, he knows the present, the past, and the future, only he can declare something to be tamei, because the Eibishter knows everything from tchila v'ad sof. Says Rabbi Sol Salant, if we apply this principle to how we judge people, we only see mafris. We only see the present. We don't know the yafris. We don't know what's coming in the future. We don't know the friso. We don't know the past. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam, who knows the past, present, and future, he knows the yafris, what will be. He knows the friso, what was. Only he can judge. We know the mafri. We only see one part of the picture. And therefore, we must be very careful not to judge and treat everybody with... to be done the...
talking a turtle, yeah.
No, these the animals. No. It will change. They will become kosher, like what does it mean? That's the simonim. They are.
That's true, yeah. But the what Rabbi Sofran points out is that the why change the tenses?
Yeah, I don't understand.
The pastor is.
Can it change, or what's the difference? The difference is they are now. They've got Mafis Pasa, they've got. What we compare, what we just buy. How is the Chazan? It doesn't say that. How does it say with the Chazan?
So I'm not clear of the question. I'm not.
The question is, why is the university language extremely
simple? Ah, so yeah, okay. So the question is, why does the Rebbe Hashem use? So the answer to that I heard was that the Rebbe Hashem knows that nothing can change. That he knows the past, the present, and the future. So he knows the full spectrum of animal life, and therefore that you can. What is always was and always will be, etc. I hear the kasha, but I was more focused on what Rabbi Sosalan, the limud, but how it applies to these actual animals. It's a good kasha. Okay, sorry, Chiyon. Moving swiftly on. So I once heard Bederech Melitza as in a humorous way, because it's not the halacha, and it's not but by birch, why do we need kohanim to do birch? Why do we need kohanim to give a bracha? Yeah, why does the Rebbe Hashem require kohanim to give brachas to Klal Yisrael? At the end of the day, the Rebbe Hashem is giving the bracha anyway. So what do we need the kohanim for? So there's many answers, but this person said, Bederech Melitza, and it sort of struck a little chord. He said, because based on this, what we've just said, on Mafris, Yafris, and Hifrisa, the person, the Eibishter may say, look at a person and say, he doesn't deserve a brocha, because I know his past, I know his present, I know his future. Actually, if it's left to Minashamayim, he doesn't deserve a brocha. But you, Yidden, you don't know his past, you don't know his future, and therefore you can give a brocha. So in other words, Koyanim, you give brocha because you don't know the person's past or his future. Yeah, there's always, from the human perspective, there's always hope, and therefore you kohanim. So a yid, we have to give brachas. Leave the judging to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we just give brachas, because he would, and therefore our job is to look at people and to hope that there will be better things coming in the future. There's a very nice idea after which I heard b'shem Rav Meir Shapiro zechesad divrocha. Rav Meir Shapiro says as follows: after the Mabul, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach that the keshes, that the rainbow will now be a sign that there will never be a flood anymore. And the question is, what's special about the rainbow? What was the rainbow? Why has the rainbow got such significance? What of all the things in the Bria, what is the moshul? What's the nimshul? What's the message of the rainbow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Noach to learn? So he says as follows: the truth of the matter is, the Ribbono Shel Olam had a taina on Noach, because Noach was meant to build a teva, which took 120 years to build. Why did it take 120 years to build this teva? It wasn't in a British shipyard. There was no strikes. Why? What took so long? The answer is, he was meant to do teshuva. People would ask what's happening, and there's going to be a mabul and do teshuva. At the end of the day, all he saved was his wife and his sons and family. The whole of mankind, unfortunately, went missing. And he's blamed. In the Haftorah of Noach, it's referred to Mei Noach. This is your flood. You could have done more to put it right. So the kash is, why didn't you daven? And Noach said, because the Olam were too far gone, they were too steeped in their riches. And the Emisha says, you're making a mistake. Let's look at a rainbow. And take a rainbow. A rainbow is you have a stormy cloud, and the sun shines, and out from the stormy cloud comes a beautiful rainbow. So there's a chazal that during the Mabul there was no sun, everything was dark, and Nebuchadnezzar said that everybody goes through a period of darkness, and everybody's got troubles in their lives. This is the rash we referred to previously. But all it needs is a nice word. You shine a Dvar Torah, you shine a nice word on a person, and out from the other side comes a beautiful rainbow. You don't know when you show a little bit of warmkeit, a bit of warmth to another Yid, and you think that he's too far gone, he's too far removed. Out from that, from that neshama will come a beautiful rainbow, and therefore the rainbow is a simon of the potential that every human being has. We can never give up on people. I wanted to extend this idea to Parshas Metzora, which is next week's Sedra. This week's Sedra. I mean next Shabbos. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron leimor. This is Yudalad pasuk lamed gimel lamed dalad. Ki savo el eretz Kanaan asher ani noisein lachem lachuzo, v'nosati negat zaras beveis eretz achuzaschem. There's going to be negat on your houses, and this will be, if you speak lashon hara, then your house is in danger. Says Rashi, the Kisavo, the whole pasuk seems to be very positive, as if there's some good news on the way. And Rashi says, "Besurahi lahem, shehanagoyim boim aleihem lefi." So, what's the good news? Lefi sheitminu amaroyim matmoinios shel zahav bikiras bateihem kol arboim shana. They hid gold in their walls. The 40 years Yidden were in the Midbar. When the house would be, the wall would be scraped off, you'd find the gold. So there's good news. There's good news is that even though your house may be knocked down, there's a pot of gold there to as compensation. And the question is. Why did the Baal Lashon Hara deserve this pot of this gold? So there's many answers given. But something I read from B'Shem Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky struck a chord. He said that when the person speaks Lashon Hara, why do you speak Lashon Hara? Because you don't value the person. And you don't realize the true, you see, the things which you don't see. So here's a wall. You think it's a dirty Canaanite wall. You scrape off the surface, and behind there's gold. He said, that is the muscle which we learn how we speak about people. We think a person, there's nothing there, but we don't realize that if you scratch the surface, there's gold, there's something really, really precious in that person. And therefore, when you spoke about that person, you thought there was nothing special. You thought there was nothing special about that wall either. And just in the same way that you found gold behind that wall, so apply the same thing to how you deal with other people too. And perhaps we can add, and by the way, yourself too. When a person does teshuva, Hashem's looking at the gold within that person. So it shows you should never look down upon people because you don't know what you don't know what's there. And it occurred to me, Rashi says a very interesting lashon. Lefi sheitminu amarei matmoinios. He uses the word matmoinios comes twice. Sheitminu matmoinios, a hidden treasure, so to speak. It occurred to me when I saw those words, there's a minhag which some Yidden have. I used to work with someone who had this minhag. During the Sefira, we say that how many days of the Sefira and we say Hayoim Yud Beis Yomim Lematmoinim. Have you ever heard of this minhag? Lematmoinim, because matmoinim is memtes moinim. They count 49. Yeah, I once worked with a yid showed me a letter which he was writing, and I saw that loshen, and I said, "What does matmoini mean?" He said, "It's minhag," and apparently it is a minhag in Klal Yisrael to write the day of the sira matmoinim, because mem tes moinim, we count 49 days. It's a play on words, but it's a minhag in Klal Yisrael. So I wanted to say that perhaps the Matmoinim Minhag of the Yumei Sefira are linked to this Rashi Matmoinim. That we look for the Matmoinim means hidden, and we look for the hidden treasure in every yid in our build up to Kabbalah Satorah. We look for the hidden treasure in other people, and that way we address the whole taina that of the Talmidim, Rabbi Kiva, shall learn algu kovazelazeh, that we learn to upgrade our appreciation of the Yidden and of ourselves. As it says in Mishleim, Tevakshena kakesef, if you want to look for Torah like kesef, v'chatmoinim techapsena, and you dig for it like hidden treasure, oz tovin yiras Hashem, v'das elokim timsa, then you'll find yiras Shemaim. So you'll find not only in Torah, it means if you look for Torah like treasure, then you'll become successful. But if you look in other people, you'll find Yiras Shemaim there too. It applies to people as well. Just to extend this a little bit further, every yid is tremendously choshuv. Every yid has got tremendous chashivas, and the Gemara in Shabbos in Kuf Mem Vav speaks about the inyan of are we subject to mazel. There's a whole Gemara there discussing im yesh mazel Yisrael. Are we under the hashkocha protis of the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the Gemara there speaks about Shmuel and Avlate. Shmuel was obviously one of the Gedolim, and Avlate was a non-Jewish chacham and an astrologer, and he thought he could foresee the future. And the Gemara tells us this story. He said that Shmuel and Avlate were sitting, and there was a whole group of people going to work, and Avlate said, he pointed to one yid and he said, this yid is going to die today. And Shmuel said, no such thing, ain mazel Yisrael, there's no mazel, there's nothing foretold, yeah, we're under the hashkocha protis of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they waited, and they came, and all the people came back from work, and this yid was there. And so they called him over, and they said, let's look in your bag. And they opened the bag, and inside there was a snake chopped in half. So Shmuel said to the yid, he said, what did you do today? He said that our minhag was that all the people come to work, we all bring bread to work, some people bring more, some people bring less. And I saw that one person had nothing to give, and he might get embarrassed. So I said, I will collect the bread today. And I went round every person, and I said, thank you. And when it came to that yid who had nothing to give, I gave him some bread and he gave it back, and I said thank you, and I covered over his embarrassment. And Shmuel said that you did an amazing mitzvah, and tzedakah tatzel mimoves, and therefore, because you did such an amazing thing, therefore you now have arichas yomim. So we see that you can never underestimate people. That a little thing that a person does, we don't always see it, but it's there. There's hidden gold in every person. And when I saw this miser, it brought to mind I've met him. Or an anical of him, and I met him many years ago in Crowland Road Shul. and I don't know his full name, but I know he was called Yossi the Builder. And Yossi the Builder was—he used to collect tzedakah in Crowland Road Shul for the shul. He used to take the pushka round. So I was once there, and I was attending a bar mitzvah, and I had my Shabbos suit on. And Yossi came round with the pushka, and he's collecting from every person. And he came to me, and I put my hand in my pocket. And I said, before I knew what had happened, he'd flicked a 10p coin into my hand, and I was able to put money in the tzedakah box. And I was watching him very carefully. He had the pushka in one hand and a small change in the other, and he would go. I was watching him very carefully, and he went round, and whoever gave, whoever couldn't, a coin was flicked in their direction, and everybody was able to give. And I said to him afterwards, I called him over and I said, that what you've done is amazing, because this is the Gemara. This is a tremendous mice. We've often been caught out. You put your hand in your pocket, you don't. He spared me that embarrassment. And because he spared me that embarrassment, the Gemara says such a thing is amazing. So from here we learn that Yossi the Builder, Zolazayim Gesund, people might look at him and say, there's no such thing as poshut yid. There's gadlus in every human being, and it was such an impressive thing that you've got such people with us in our generation too, who go that extra mile to spare that embarrassment. We should never underestimate. We're running out of time. Just wanted to share with you just a very quick thing about Rebbe Akiva, a Kashan Ateris about Rebbe Akiva. We talked about his Talmidim. Let's talk about Rebbe Akiva just for a moment. It's just something very, very nice I heard. That how did Rebbe Akiva become Rebbe Akiva? How did he become this great Rebbe Akiva? So there's Avostra Rabbi Nosson. The Avostra Rabbi Nosson, the famous story of how he came to a waterfall. He came to a waterfall, and the water had bored a hole through the rock. And Rabbi Akiva said to the shepherds, what had happened over here? So they said to him, Amruloi, Hamayim Shetodi Noiflim Alei Bechol Yoim. The waters fall on it. Amru lo Akiva, iato kora avonim shochakumayim. Do you not know there's a pasuk that the water wears away stone? So Rabbi Akiva learned to kal v'chomer, if water can do this to stone, how much can do Torah can do to me? So the Alter Slobodka, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, of the early generation, he asked a kasha. He said these shepherds quoted a pasuk. Avonim shachakumayim. It's a pasuk in Eiv. It's a pasuk in Eiv. If they knew a pasuk in Eiv and were able to quote him the water wears away stone, how? So Rabbi Akiva learned the kal v'chomer. If water can wear away stone, how much more so can Torah impact on me? So he became the great Rabbi Akiva. He went to learn. So what about these shepherds? These shepherds are already on that madrega, they could quote Eiv by Baal Peh. And therefore, so why didn't they become Rabbi Akiva? If they're already on that madrega and they knew that what was happening over here, so why didn't they do the same? What was the difference between Rabbi Akiva and these shepherds? Rabbi Akiva was far away from learning Eiv by heart. So the Alter Slobodka answered, because the shepherds said, water can wear away stone, but it takes years and years and years, and therefore there were Meyayish. We haven't got that gidult. Rabbi Akiva said, I'm not interested in the future. If it takes thousands and thousands of gallons to bore a hole, then it must mean that drop number one made an impact. If the millionth drop made the hole, then it must be that drop number one had, I can do that first drop. I can do it day by day. And he said, forget the future, let the present take care. I will do what I can do now, and the future can take care of itself. And actually, that's what the sphere is all about, to take day by day what I can do today, usfratem lochem, we count for ourselves, and that way we improve. And Be'ezus Hashem, in taking inspiration of Rabbi Akiva and the Chizuk in Be'edom Chaveroi, we should be zoicha this year to be in the Bayis Shlishi for Kabbalah HaTorah, and Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. We should all be together ki'ish echad b'lev echad.
What's the difference? Why is that? Is that because you have to pay that?